Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
We thank you for your presence in this place. And thank you for your word. Thank you for your light, your revelation. In Christ Jesus, thank you that you are with us. Thank you for the Spirit in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, last time that we were together in this series on saving your soul, of our title, Your Identity in Christ, because of the grace of God and not because of you. It's not because of you, but what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now, in our last session, we saw a few things of what we have in Christ. We saw that your spirit is perfect. When God sees you, he sees you in Christ. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 1, verse 13, in him also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice how you were already sealed. In what? In the Spirit. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit, Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto redemption. Now, continuing establishing foundation, let's go to John. Now, sometimes I don't know why. I just genuinely don't know why. What could it be? But I have a theory that when certain things that for me are foundational, other people don't understand them. I have a theory that people don't meditate those scriptures. So you forget with so much information that they're circling around, be it Christian things as well. But what I'm speaking are foundational. They're the foundation. This is what the people who have recently converted to the Lord should know. In 1 John 4, 1 John 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is present day, so we are in the Spirit in this world. Now, as I said in the first session of this subject, this all happened in the Spirit, the human spirit, when we were born again. Amen. And you and God, or you and the Lord Jesus, are one. You can see it here. People still get scared with this. There are Christians who will listen to this and get scared. So we are in this world. As the Lord is in this world, so we are as well. Where? In the Spirit. Not your mind, not your body. In the Spirit. Now, very quickly, we'll be dealing on that subject of the mind. But it's in the Spirit. We are the same as the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a prayer that the Lord did. And of course, I'm not going to see the whole prayer. But in chapter 17 of John, verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I, that they also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So we are one with him in what? In the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, who is with the Lord, he is one in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, we are temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Ephesians 4, I'm just giving this quickly because we've already seen those verses. I'm just going by very quickly. But in Ephesians 4, verse 23, we also saw that we were already and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What is that? What is that of the Spirit? Not the human spirit, but it's an attitude, your way of thinking. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, or dressed in the new man, which is created according to God. We were already created according to God, in the righteousness, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, the King James Version translated it a bit better. He's created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, true holiness. That true holiness, true righteousness is this. When you understand what you are in Christ. So, the questions that many people have is, so does that mean then that if I'm a Christian, I can live in sin and I can do this and the other if God already loves me? That if you can, yes, you can. You have the ability to do so. God will not stop you. Something that you have to understand from God is this. God will respect your free will and the right to exercise it, although it'll go bad for you. Yeah, it's something that I also respect. People have told me, oh, the Lord told me to go from here. Oh, okay. You know, I don't even ask. The leaders would tell me, but why didn't you ask? The moment that someone tells me, the Lord told me, forget, who am I to judge? So they say, but what if they didn't tell him? Oh, well, that's not on me. Amen. Not on me. I will respect your free will. You make a mistake or you don't. Because I'm not God. I will teach you to discern, but all I can do. Amen. Because God gave you the right to choose. Now, these are the foundations in the Spirit. Notice then, verse 24. In true righteousness and holiness of the truth, or true holiness and true righteousness, meaning that you are already righteous. You are as righteous from today to a million years from now. This is a person who has been born again in truth. Not people who say that they've been born again. No, these are people who have been truly born again. From here to a million years, you won't be more righteous than what you are now if you've been born again. So what does Ephesians 1:13 say? One more time. Look at 13. In him, who is him? In the Lord Jesus. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This means then that you've been born again. Now, we can argue. You and I can argue. Perhaps you could say, oh, I don't believe that so-and-so was truly born again. Okay, that's fine. Perhaps not. I don't know. I'll also tell you the other side of the coin. There are many people in the churches who have never been born again. This is the truth. They assume that because they go to a church, they're already children of God, they're saved. It's as if today in the morning, I was in my horse stables, and I didn't become a horse. So there are Christians who assume that if they go to a church, they're already Christians. Well, no. Not like that. You need to be born again. Not because you come to church, although a Christian also goes to church. Do you understand what I'm saying? For their own protection. Good. That's why you have to go to a church where they teach you. Actually, churches, the majority, have just become Christian clubs just to entertain. Now, that's another subject because this is a very, very complete series. I'll be speaking many diverse subjects. I'll be touching on matrimony. I'll be speaking on it. That's why I don't give courses of this and that and things of this and this and that. That's all churches do because if I tell you it's the same word, but if you follow the same word, your matrimony will be perfect. You don't need meetings and conferences of this and that. Well, it's worked for me, some have said. Well, it worked for you because you were carnal. That's why. But the truth is, if you would have heard the word, well, I'm also saying the truth that there are churches where it's not taught. But speaking of a good church and a good pastor that teaches you the word. Amen. Don't make me touch on that. Now, follow along with me. Why do my wife and I have such an excellent matrimony? Oh, that's so exaggerated. Well, do it the way you want to, but to completely oppose personalities. You know why? Because we've learned to put the word first, to pray and to truly be in unity. And if there's something that I truly believe I receive from the Lord, and she believes she received something from the Lord, and it's contrary, then we each pray up until we hear the same. Amen. Amen. This is how you deal with things. Now look at this. In whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were what? Sealed. That word there, sealed, what have you seen when there are these metal things and then they weld them together? It's sealed. That word in the Greek indicates, for example, have you ever eaten a type of meal where it's vacuum sealed? You know what vacuum sealed is? Or nothing gets in. Well, if you've been born again, truly born again, then you were vacuum sealed. When a Christian sins, you don't instantly become a heathen just because you sinned or disobeyed. But many Christians and pastors believe that, which is why they have to come and be resaved every Sunday. Hallelujah. Even some of you still believe that. Because you say, oh, how can you tell? By the look that you're giving me? If a look could kill. Some of you, I'm willing to say some of you, even in leadership, looking at me as if, no, don't say that, Pastor, please. You're sitting down, but on the inside, you're kneeling, saying, no, please don't say that. But as I said, I'm going to tell you the truth. You do with the truth what you want. If you want to abuse the truth, if you want to follow it, that's on you. All I'll do is share the truth, not lie to you. I won't teach you heresies. I'll teach you the whole concept of the Bible and both sides of the coin. And actually, I'll tell you from now, perhaps I won't touch on it today, but perhaps on the next service. But I asked my family, I asked them this question. They were eating, Nubi and my kids, and I went to the table. I asked them, I'm going to make a question very quickly. Can a Christian, now of course under grace, we're in the time of grace, can a Christian that is under grace come judgment upon them? What would be the answer? Yes or no? I'm going to give you the answer that they give. In the series that is titled Apostasy, I've already touched on it, perhaps you've already forgotten about it. Exactly. The answer is yes, not from God, but judgment. One of the definitions of judgment is a verdict. It means something that was given. I won't touch on it tonight, just giving you a quick summary of it. And when God spoke on that, it was judgment. So judgment, you can apply it for a good side. It means if you obey the word, judgment will come. Now people say, no, I don't want judgment. Well, I do. For example, laws of tithing and offering or seed and harvest. 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 9:7. By 9:6, I say this, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows abundantly will reap abundantly. The verdict from the Lord, he already said it. So judgment, if it's good or bad, will depend on you. And now in the next session, I'll even give you the words in the Latin of those types of words. Perhaps some of the lawyers here who know about law will understand me better. It's very easy. But what I'm sharing here from God to you as a child of God, from God to you towards your spirit, if you sin, you won't lose your salvation, nor will God get mad with you in that sense or stop loving you. So the logic of many is, oh, so does that mean I can sin, Brother Hughes? Oh, how amazing. As I said, it's stupid to sin purposefully. And what's going to happen is you'll give place to the devil. Go to Romans 6. 6:15, 1 before. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Notice this. Do you not know when you to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death? How much clearer do you want it? What I'm saying is, when you're born again, then the Lord Jesus, we saw it in our last session, the Lord Jesus and you become one. But sin acts in your mind and in your flesh. Start smoking, start taking drugs. Although you're a child of God, the effects and the consequences will come. Nowadays, according, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but according to latest studies, alcohol is provoking cancer in some people. Those e-cigarettes or vapes as well are causing lung cancer in youth. So, Christian, born again, but is doing those things, the devil will use the avenue to put a cancer and kill him before his time. So that's where Christians get confused and say, hey, but if God is so good, and God is my healer, and God is this and that, why did he let my kid die of cancer? Because you and your kid were being foolish and acting as a heathen, provoked that consequence, or the devil took advantage. Ephesians 4, verse 27, do not give place to the devil. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and verse 9, please. Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The ones who are drinking and doing drugs, Christians that are born again. Amen. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. Notice 8, how it says he's seeking whom he may devour. Seeking who? Because he can't devour anyway. The devil can't just come against you just because. Well, I'll make a parenthesis here on what I'm saying. He can provoke problems, as I've taught you. It could be people come against you. For example, persecution. Here in this town in Douglas, the churches detest me. The average pastor says, oh, he's a heresy conservative. He supports Trump and that, and this and that. Because I have to be the same as them. He's crazy. People saying, oh, come here, leave that church and all that. And some foolish ones fall in that. Not all of them. Why? If I don't get involved with them, they detest me for what I speak of the word. But it's not them in reality. It's the devil through the people. That's called persecution. I can't avoid it. The only way of avoiding it is speaking and saying all the things that they say. To be the same as all of them. But I refuse. Amen. But when I left a certain denomination, which I will not name, I remember I left that denomination. When I left from there, I never said anything of the church. I never spoke of anything of the church. I never wanted to bring someone out of that church, because I knew if someone was going to bring them out of that church, it had to be God. No one was going to convince me to do so. In other words, I wasn't going to convince anyone else. I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Amen. But those type of Christians, what they're doing is sowing wrongfully, and eventually judgment will come to their life. Something. Now this has to be under the grace, and praise the Lord for grace and mercy. If a person does something, living wrongfully, causing problems and divisions, it looks as if nothing happens. But over time, something will happen. Be it you'll pay it, you and your flesh, if you follow along, or your children are going to pay for it. Because that's how the devil is. But it's not just yet. Yeah, that's right, the devil isn't just. But this is who you are in Christ. In this moment. Now last time we left it on Hebrews 12, verse 22. So when you say that you're not perfect, clarify where it is that you aren't perfect. Hebrews 10, verse 12. Let's look at it one more time. Verse 14. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. With one offering, the offering of himself. Amen. In verse 12, but this man, Christ, after he have offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses for us. For after he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. That he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So why do you have to remember them? But notice how he already made you perfect. Where? We spoke in our last session. I believe it was Sunday. In your spirit you were made perfect. You tell sometimes, where are the glasses we have on top of our heads? One time I was talking with my son on the phone. I said, son, I'm going to let you go because I got to call your mom because I was trying to find my phone. I was talking with him on the phone. And he said, dad, please. Well, what are you talking with me? I mean, seriously, I was so distracted in what we were doing. I forgot where my phone was. In our minds, we aren't perfect. Amen. On Wednesday, my sister, and thank you, sister, I'm thanking you publicly. She corrected me because she said, I would mispronounce intellect. I said, oh, thank you. I like it when people correct me. I'm so perfect in the spirit, of course. Now, look at verse 12. But our minds aren't perfect. I mean, our body isn't perfect. Hebrews 12. Verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men, to the spirits of just men made perfect. By who? To Jesus the mediator, the new covenant, and to the blood of springing that speaks better things than that of Abel. So never say again, I'm not perfect, unless you clarify and say, I'm not perfect in my mind, I'm not perfect. In my mind, I'm not perfect. In my feelings aren't perfect. My body isn't perfect. It's very comfortable. I notice that my body isn't perfect because I start eating too much bread and then I can't close my suits. You see, would you just love to eat whatever and not worry about gaining weight? Thank you for wanting me, and the rest of you just glory to God. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct us? But we have the mind of Christ. Where do we have the mind of Christ? In our spirit. That was given by grace when we were born again. That means, and 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. We already have it. Now, where do we know all things? Or where do you have the mind of Christ? Here in your spirit. But for that reason, we need direction many times. And it's why it's so important to bring out what we already know by praying in other tongues. For example, remember how the Bible says that God, he challenges us. Now, I'll share something with you that he told me. Sometimes I'd rather he just manifest, the Lord just manifest and give me a kick or a slap. Chapter 12, Now again, there are people who they struggle and say, there you see, God is punishing you. No, God is a spirit. John 4 says that the Lord is a spirit. But notice in Hebrews 12, verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. God bless brothers in Christ, but there are those who give their sorrowful testimonies instead of testimonies saying, well, glory to God, brothers and sisters, here we are, and I pray for your prayers, because I request your prayers, because the Lord is rebuking me, and the Lord has put an illness on me to test me. And they say, I ask of your prayers. It's a contradiction, because if supposedly God put an illness on you to teach you something, keep it, right? I mean, why do you want prayer for? Pray so that they remove it from you. No, you keep it. Very capable that God gets mad with me for praying with you, and he sends me an illness now. Sends me a lightning strike or something. See how stupid that is? Is that right? No, God does not rebuke you in your flesh. If you understand what I just said, John 4:24, the Lord told that Samaritan woman, God is a spirit, and those who praise him in spirit and in truth. Necessary that they praise him. So do you know how God rebukes you in your spirit, or when he tells you something and corrects you in your spirit and it hurts you in your heart for being so disobedient? You know what he told me today? I was praying for something and he told me, there are some of these confessions that I gave you and some scriptures that I want you to meditate them, and you haven't meditated all of them. In those confessions, I didn't give them just so you could have them. I gave them because that is everything that I have decided for you as your family, your wife, your children, your ministry. It's right here. And sometimes you just carry them. You just meditate those that you like. But oh man. You don't know why he rebukes you? Because since you love God, as if you love your wife or your children, you don't want to be hurting them just because. If you say something and you hurt them, it hurts you in your heart. So when you love God and he says something, you say, oh Lord, I repent, it's true. I'll see. And I almost asked him, wait, which ones haven't I meditated? Like, I know, I just didn't want to be more of an idiot before him. He seemed like a joke, but for me, this is very serious. When the Lord speaks to me and tells me something. For me. Not for others, but for me. I disobeyed God. And what happens? It was just pure ignorance. Not ignorance. It's as if I didn't do it purposefully. I didn't realize it. But what happens if from here on out, I continue disobeying? I'll now affect the plans of the Lord in my life. And the devil will use that avenue. Which is why it's so important to understand these things which you already have. Ephesians 1:8 says, the Lord in Christ, he has made us abound toward that wisdom, to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, I may be going a little fast, but the next session, I want to touch on what is true judgment and explain it. Amen. I'll give you two sides of the coin with Brother Hughes. And with our corporation of Word of Faith Ministries, you will always receive a biblical, solid, and balanced teaching in which you can trust. I won't give you debaucherous teachings, nor will I give you religion. I'll give you the truth of the gospel. Colossians 3:10. Notice how these verses, I'm going to repeat them one more time. You can write them down. Ephesians 1:8, Colossians 3:10, 1 Corinthians 2, and there are other verses. I just gave you those few. They have to do with the wisdom, or that you already know all in your spirit, or the direction of God. You understand wisdom, guidance, that the Lord guides you, the Holy Spirit guides you, or direction or wisdom. Those verses, they teach us here. All new covenant or the second covenant. What was that? I'll repeat them. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For those who are writing things down. What was that? 1 John 2:20. Colossians 3:10 and Ephesians 1:8. Now, in Colossians 3:10, man, some of you are those who say, oh, toss me 100 verses, Pastor, because you think that I give you many verses, you're all very holy. No, no, the only reason I'm doing this, because these teachings eventually will be on television. And the people of the world, who the majority are of the world, will see me. And that's why many of them are being born again, as the Lord told me. He told me, many will come. And this was months ago. Many will be saved only. But others will be trained, will be discipled. But about a week ago, Multimedia gave me a report saying that in our website, the most visited section is our section of new birth. Glory to God. Exactly as the Lord had told me months ago. And what I'm telling you right now was just a few weeks ago. Glory to God when they gave me that report.
The Word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
Colossians 3, verse 10. What we saw last time. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So as you're renewing, what you're renewing is your mind. But that knowledge, you have it here in your spirit. So you could say, well, how is it that I don't know what to do certain things? Exactly. Brother Hughes, what direction do I take? I don't know what decision to do. So you start praying in tongues. Father, help me here. I don't know what decisions to do here. And you start praying. You start praying in the spirit. Sometimes the answer won't come immediately. And sometimes, especially if you have many distractions, and you're always on Facebook and YouTube and Messenger and this and that. And I don't know what someone told me about your status. I misunderstood as the state of Arizona. No, I said, no, that has to do with WhatsApp. I don't know what all that is. And people laugh at me when they say, no, you don't know what this is, what this feature is? No, of course not. And someone else told me, well, in what planet do you live in? I said, in my spirit, I live between the earth and heaven where the Lord is. Not to make fun or make myself be better than others, but that's why I don't have the issue that many of Christians have today. It's not that I've always done it perfectly. You know why I tell you this? And I emphasize so much because I learned so many things in the school of hard knocks. And I'm trying to help you avoid things. Years of falling back behind on your spiritual life. Here's a word that you're not going to like. That's also very important. That where you'll get serious when you need direction of something. It's called prayer. And this is a very bad word. And fasting. Oh, fasting. If I don't need a meal, I start getting dizzy. Well, that's what happens because, I miss out on the meal and I start getting dizzy. Well, yeah, your flesh is used to always having everything that it wants. You see how very quickly the joy finished with that? Well, I'd rather pray in tongues, but I would tell you fasting. That's why fasting is important. Why it's important to take time by yourself, to disconnect everything, phone, everything, turn it all off, and go to a place by yourself and pray seriously. Even take the elements of communion or the parts for communion. Prayer does not move God. Fasting moves you. Amen. And sometimes you'll have to use wisdom and you can fast, I don't know, 4 or 3 hours. But hey, perhaps you'll lose a couple pounds in fasting. You wouldn't have to go over there to a sauna or whatever you call it. You see how very quickly the joy drops after that. So I'm going to have to stop eating my sandwich of chorizo in the morning. Sometimes, because it's dominating you, there are things that dominate you. There are people, for example, if I don't have breakfast, my head starts hurting and I start getting dizzy. Have some water, you won't die. Especially if you have a lot of reserves here in your stomach, your body will grab from there. Hallelujah. No wonder they criticize you in the other churches, but you know what? You get it. I'm trying to say, what is the pastor trying to say here? But that's on you. I'm not obligating you to do so. Especially when you have to take this quality decision. I mean, that's life or death. Decisions where... Have you ever had to take serious decisions where if you take a bad decision, a big problem comes? Well, this spiritual life, brothers and sisters, this spiritual life is very important. And I'll just tell you this in the few minutes that I have left. This, literally, everything that we've spoken from prayer and all of this, has something that you have to force your body to do and your mind. Don't expect on, oh, I felt like praying today. Well, that's fine, but I can tell you, the majority of the times, you won't feel like praying. You won't feel like submitting your body. You have to obligate. Eventually, you will discipline your mind and you won't struggle. But sometimes, depending on how busy you are, the mind will be telling you, oh, I have to do this, I have to do the other. Today, we live in the era of ding, ding, ding. And that thing you can hear it all day. People have this nervous tick just all the time. They don't have the phone, just, oh, there's nothing here. Oh, yeah, because I'm used to it. They hear the phone of someone else and quickly just, what a stronghold you have then. As I said, there are some things I'm not telling you here. What to do, what not to do. Giving you tips so your life can become better. Hallelujah. You're going to have to discipline yourself because your mind, your body doesn't want these things. Now in Romans 8, verse 6 and 7. Glory to God. For For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Notice verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Your body won't want to submit. Your body won't want to pray, read the Bible, or focus on God, glory to God. Some time ago, the Lord told me, if you constantly focus on just thinking on me, you will prosper in all areas of your life. So how can I think on you always? I mean, how do you think on God who's a spirit? How? Some got God bless, but they just think of a crucifix or something like that? No, it's not talking about that. I think I was driving. And I said, how, Lord, teach me? And he mentioned in Isaiah, where it says, you keep complete peace. He whose thought perseveres on you, because he has trusted in you. You keep in complete peace whose thought persists on you. Amen. Glory to God. Because he has trusted in you. Wow, thinking on him is constantly thinking on the word. It's praising him. You keep complete peace. He whose thought perseveres on you. You keep in complete peace. You keep in complete peace. Means if you do not have peace, you're not thinking on God. You keep in complete peace. He whose thought perseveres on you. Because he has trusted in you. You know why you trust? Because you've persevered. If you do not have peace, because you're not thinking on God and his word. You keep in complete peace. Whose mind perseveres on you. Because he has trusted in you. You keep in complete peace. Complete peace. Shalom, shalom. The Hebrew. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Lord is so good. Now, before going to Colossians, what happens then? If you do not keep in complete peace, many people are in depression because of that. And you know what they say? This is Christians. Remember, the world doesn't even know what bathroom to go into. The world doesn't know if it's a woman today or a man today. You don't know if they're a cow or a horse. This is the children of God. And what's wrong, sister? Or what's wrong, brother? It's because I'm very sad because so-and-so did this or so-and-so sends that. And they start saying all circumstances. Understand what I'm saying? I understand that the mind reacts. I understand that. The mind are your will, your emotions. So your emotions react. I understand it. But these type of Christians, God bless them, they can spend days that way, months, or weeks. And am I being too cruel? No? Just the three or four of the rest look at me like, yeah, it's because you haven't gone through what I've gone through. You see, always, which is why I say you have to change your way of thinking, because then the word, you will always have it. You'll always reduce it, dilute it. And forgive me if I'm going too fast, because I'm joyful and this is also to take advantage of time. Am I scaring you? No? You fine? You good? Praise the Lord. I like that. Keep going. Gustavo is at fault because he's always saying, preach it. Okay. There are Christians who dilute the word. For example, when wintertime comes, oh, I got cold because it's wintertime. Oh, so that means that the word does not work during wintertime. Only in the other seasons. Forget about wintertime. During wintertime, you have to be you have to have all types of cold and this, this, and that. Then the heat comes and diarrhea. You have diarrhea during summertime because the word doesn't work because it's summertime. That's what I'm referring to. You have to change your way of thinking. Hallelujah. Amen. But you have it there. That, oh, it's because you're old and you're 70 years old and this, this, and that. It's because almost you're about to go. You're about to go almost. That's the idea. And the people told you, no, it's because, yeah, brother, it's because, yeah, you have to walk like this because you're already old. Even when you walk correctly, no, 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 I have to walk like this. You see, and people are going to think that I'm making fun of them. I'm not making fun of them. I'm trying to encourage you to believe the Lord. Where you reach that age, you're even more healed. But you have to remove that trash out of your mind and say, no, it's like this and this happens. I'm not saying that we aren't going to grow old. I'm not saying. But you know what? I'm still stuck into the tree. I'm still a little green. Amen. And I'm about to be 50 years old. And I don't receive any of that trash of people. Of this, that, and the other. And I don't even want to repeat some of the things that they've told me. Amen. Just some time ago, they asked me, how many times do you get up at night to pee? At night? I'm not a zombie or anything. Whatever you call it, those things that walk at night. I go to sleep at night, and I wake up. After I sleep at least a minimum of 6 hours, that's when I get up. 6-7 hours. Rarely do I sleep 8. Because I'm very tired. But 6-7 hours, that's enough for me. That's then until then that I wake up to go to use the restroom. I don't have that nonsense of... And this man was telling me, oh, that's not possible. I don't believe it. Well, that's on you. What, do you want me to record myself in the mornings? Where the phone says at what time it is? You can believe me or what? That's on you if you believe me or not. Hallelujah, glory to God. You have to believe this. It's a process. You have to put the word in your heart and speak it and believe it and close all doors to the devil, glory to God. Oh, you're so exaggerated. Well, tell that to God. Here we have a very exaggerated God. You're all very quiet. What happened? Did I offend you or something? I tend to offend people very easily. You see, it's not my intention. According to me, I'm encouraging you. Thank you. Some of you just... But don't encourage me so much. Colossians 3. Verse 25. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Now, this comes with 1 John 3. We also read Romans 6, 15 and 16, Colossians 3. This is what gives place to the devil, which is why you're not always just wanting to sin, because what sin does is act in your mind, act in your flesh. The devil takes advantage for that. Our nature was changed now, glory to God. But Brother Hughes, why is it that when I was born again, I still want to do that? Good thing you asked. Chapter 6 of Romans. A brother in Christ told me, lives in another city. He lives in another city. I say that, a brother, who, from here, from the church? Who? To pray for him. Yeah. Yeah. You can be nosy. Oh, Brother Hughes, guess what happened to me? I was walking on the Gila's over there in Phoenix. I was walking on the sidewalk, and at home, there was a home there over there smoking some pot. Oh, yeah, it's common for people nowadays. You know what he told me? But this great desire, because he used to struggle with that. He had severe issues, but he has a relatively short time. for he to let all of that go. Let's say months. And this desire, I felt so bad. And I asked God for forgiveness all afternoon. I said, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Just condemnation. Because God bless him, but I'll just leave it at that. He's over there where they live, where they have to be saved every Sunday. But I'll tell you what happened. Chapter 6 of Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this or understanding this, that our old man was crucified with him, with Christ. Notice the expression here, our old man. You understand what this is referring to, correct? This is the human spirit. Before being born again, I say the old man, as we've seen in Ephesians 4:24, the contrary says, and dressed of the new man, born again. But in Ephesians 4:24, let go of the old man that is linked to the old desires of the spirit here. But here in Romans 6 says, knowing this, that our old man, speaking of the human spirit, but the old man or the spirit before being born again, following along, was crucified together with him. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves with. Very clearly, when a child is born again, when someone is born again, they have to renew their mind when being saved. Change your way of thinking. And when you change your way of thinking, you change your way of believing. When you change your way of believing, your way of speaking changes. When you change your way of speaking, you change your way of acting. The other way, it's just pure religion. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't smoke. Don't do this. That, because God is going to get mad with you. Behave because God is going to get mad with you. Send you to hell. You're gonna stay in the rapture and all this and that. And they're all scared and they can't do anything because they don't understand that the issue is this perverse mind right here. Now, some of you are looking at me and still thinking, oh, my pastor's so nice, but I still have to deal with him. But he's so exaggerated. Now, notice this. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified. We went from death to life. So if you remember, these three entities, spirit, soul, and body, that start eliminating, process of elimination. The Apostle Paul also taught us, or the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul taught us, that we are a spirit, we possess a mind, we are a spirit, possess a soul, live in a human body. Knowing this, that our old man, process of elimination, this is speaking of what? Of the spirit, human spirit, was crucified along with him. That the body of sin destroyed. Now, let's understand this. Process of elimination. When it says body of sin, is it talking of the human body? Because if you read the verse there, if it speaks of the old man, which is the human spirit born again, and then speaks of the body, and you say, oh, it's talking about this body, this human body, then that means that a person is born again and would have to die. Or someone would have to destroy him or kill him. That indicates that that expression, the body of sin, is not referring to this body. So if we are a spirit, soul, and body, it cannot be speaking of the human body. So it's speaking of the soul then. That word, that expression, the body of sin, is referring to this mind not renewed. Your spirit here, the human spirit or the old man, is born again. Now it's a
new man. Amen. A new creature, perfect, recreated in Christ, that has all wisdom, all understanding, has love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, what it speaks in Galatians. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, glory to God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, goodness, boldness, faith, that it is all here. Which is why our brother Philemon, or Philly, in chapter 1, verse 6, that the participation of your faith, Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Everything that we spoke, all good, all wisdom, all understanding of your spirit is perfect. It's where? In the Spirit, glory to God. Which is why faith sometimes doesn't work in Christians, because they have a relationship with God based out of fear. Yes, consequences will come if you're an idiot disobeying. If you take your own plans that God did not tell you, you will give place to the devil. God cannot protect you. But your fear should not be in the consequences necessarily, but in disrespecting God because you love Him. And yeah, of course, also saying, I'm not an idiot. I don't want to be dealing with consequences. My mother did not give birth to an idiot. Glory to God. What good beating we're giving religion right now. Glory to God. Are you understanding? Which is why it's so important to hear from God. We just do whatever we want to. Just what we feel like doing. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God will put you in places where you don't want to be. I told you, I don't like Douglas. If it were for me, I would not live here in Douglas. What I'm going to do? I don't like this culture. Really, I don't like it. I just don't like it, period. But you know what? What am I going to do? Oh, I don't like this culture. Yeah, they're always criticizing, always against, not just the world, other churches, against this church, speaking about me and my wife and the church and you. Part of persecution. Stop sucking your big thumb and grow up. I don't like it here because this sister didn't treat me well. Oh, grow up and you treat them correctly. Ignore the rest. That's being spiritual. The rest is carnal. Disobeying God out of being carnal is not right. Glory to God. Now, just to close up, I don't know if I explained this other part, where people say, oh, it's because they did this and the other to me and I feel sad. Well, yeah, I understand what's happening. But when days pass, weeks, you know what's happening though? You're operating with your mind. Your emotions are. But if you believe, glory to God, that's the thing. That's another thing. If you believe what the Bible says, what we've read, here inside of you, there is joy. There's peace. So you bring it out. Now, you understand that I went to the cashier yesterday, to the ATM, and got money out of it. Well, you're very good to understand that. So here's this. You take out all the good that's in you by Christ Jesus. You bring it out through words of faith. You bring it out through words of praying in the Spirit. A combination of the two, of words of faith and in praying in other tongues. And that's how you bring it out. If you have to rebuke the devil in the moment, you say, no, Satan, I will not be sad because the Bible says that I have joy here in my spirit. And that's what I speak. But you see, there are people who that's how the devil deceives them. Well, I don't feel joy. I don't feel it. Well, less with that mouth. I'm focusing on the issues, on what they did to you. That's why you have to be guided by the Spirit to bless the people. Instead of saying, oh, you're so ungrateful, or I helped you so much. If you helped them, it's because God told you. So you will receive from God. Period. Hallelujah. Brother, then it's not good to be grateful. Of course it's good to be grateful. Why do you think to this day I still follow the same ones? You know why? Because something that with the word, I've decided to be grateful. I want to be grateful. It's born out of me to be grateful. And there are, of course, benefits. I'm obeying my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if you focus and constantly focusing on what they did and that you don't deserve it, and that you've been a good wife or a good husband or a good son or a good daughter, and no one's saying no, but people also aren't guided by the Spirit of God and will take stupid decisions. So prepare yourself, because the devil is going to want to use those circumstances to hurt you, to hurt your feelings. What are you going to do? Stay there? I know some of you thinking, how have they told me movies? Because they've told me so many things I don't even remember. You're so harsh and so inconsiderate. And since things haven't happened to him, how do you know? You don't know how many people have backstabbed me, betrayed me. So exactly, I've helped one. You know what I think? What I did it because the Lord directed me to do so. Period. As I've told you, go to this place in the Bible. What do? You turn the page. Well, you got to turn the page. That's it. Brother Houston, what am I going to do? Keep going. That's it. Or what do you want to do? You want to leave beforehand? Well, now, if you want to go to heaven, no one should be condemning you either. But you'll decide it. And if you say, oh, it's so difficult, life is so difficult, amen. It's so difficult sometimes. Yeah, it's true. But only cowards fall back. And God does not have cowardice children. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's difficult. I sometimes think the same thing. Yeah, it's not easy sometimes. But guess what? No one said it was going to be. Or that no one said it was going to be. The Lord never told me everything was going to be easy. As just a bed of roses or something. Amen. The Lord never told me that. It isn't sometimes. It's not easy sometimes. This life isn't easy. But the grace of God is greater, concerns me. According to my opinion, which is a correct one. Amen. The grace of God is greater than anything else. My God is greater than anything. And my God, He deserves everything. All effort on my part. The best that I can do. What He tells me, I will do it. Costs me whatever it costs. But I am in Him, glory to God. And what it costs me in my mind and my body, I will do it. And what will cost us the most in our mind is dominating this. Dominating these things. Guard your heart, guard your ears. Your ears are not spiritual trash cans. Surprising how people learn of every single detail of things that happen out there with other Christians. Yeah, I asked Nubia, why is it that I never learned these things? You know, when I learned these things, it's through other people. But I never learned through social media because I don't even watch it. Amen. I think Erica was the one that told me, look here, and you click here and you share it like this. Oh, okay. How fun. I just clicking. I like everything. Last time you gave me a wrong comment, Erica called me and said, no, don't like that one, Pastor. I said, oh, okay. I didn't know. I'm just liking and sharing and just doing this and that. And I close that. I don't ever see any other comments again. And that's it. Forget about the rest. After that, I see that my phone on WhatsApp, I have 50 messages wiped from so many. Turns out I share certain things, certain videos, and then the people are answering. Thank you for sharing, but I didn't know who I shared it with. I just clicked. There we go. Because Erica taught me that, and it's fun for like 5 minutes. That's all I'm doing for like 5 minutes. And then after that, I close the app and I don't know what happens next. Really, the Lord knows it's true. You see, tell me, you don't answer anything. A friend of mine once told me, I said, oh, what are you talking about? When you put a video, I tell you something and you never answer. I didn't even know. I called Eric, guys, because Eric, look, Pastor, you do this and you can like it, or you can do this and that, and you can share here. I said, oh, okay. So I just started like, put a comment, like. And then they cursed me, said that I was robbing the money of the church because I had a chauffeur. It turns out it was just my son, Anthony, who was driving. What does she care? What if I had the money to pay for a chauffeur? Who cares? What does she care? What's her issue? I said, okay, fine. You know what? Erica calls me, Pastor, please don't like that comment. Please, you like that mean comment. Like means that you liked it, but you didn't. Glory to God. People are amazing. But what I'm saying is, you decide. It's true. They will come, will use other people, and they'll speak of things. And perhaps they'll betray you. Yeah, it's true. That's how it is. And what are you going to do? You have the option of being depressed, crying, talking to the whole world, to your friends, and saying them all the trash that happened. You'd be more conscious. Or putting half nonsense on Facebook. I feel depressed because this person said this. As if casting it on someone else, but you're not willing to tell that person. As they've placed some things on me. And some people, including people from here, alluding to what I've said. I'm putting nonsense of, I feel depressed. I feel depressed today. And then when it's cloudy, I get more depressed. And here at church, I'm the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm more than a conqueror. Yeah, you are. But put that, not nonsense, someone say amen. Glory to God. That's embarrassing. You should. Very quickly, I just unfriend those people. This is just falling nonsense. What's the point in following all that nonsense? The trash that you're being fed. Hallelujah. Hey, don't you have the number of this person? No, I don't. You don't? Yeah, it's been a while since I've spoken with that person. Why be just filling up my phone of people that I don't have contact with? I haven't had contact with them in a certain amount of time. I just remove their contact. God forbid, you can't do that. Someone unfriends you or whatever you call it. You get depressed for 3 days. You're closed at the closet. You're locked in your closet, sucking your big thumb because they blocked you or whatever. Well, they don't tag me anymore. Tag me? Have you seen in Walmart when they would put a machine like this to the price tags? They'll put something on your forehead. They tagged me. That's what I imagine. You know, and your status. What words? Your status? Your status? I misunderstood. Erica, what does that mean? Yeah, I have to call Erica here on Multimedia. I have to ask Nubia, love, what does... People know everything nowadays. Well, I'll leave it there. Shh, quiet. Guard my mouth, Lord. I'll close up with this. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. 6 verse 7. Now I'll be touching on this in greater detail. But this whole verse, in its context, speaks of money. But you know, it's not just money. Notice in verse 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, he will also reap. In 6:6, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things that with him who teaches. And I've explained, the Galatians had forgotten the instructions of Paul, had gone back to religion and Judaism, and teachers of the law would come and teach them Judaism and forget the grace of the Lord, forgetting about faith, righteousness in Christ. And the Galatians, yeah, they would give them, they'd pay them a giving, an offering. So Paul, in the first chapters, as you know, gave them a good scolding. And after that said, you sow in him who truly feeds you. Hallelujah. Why, in this church, we feed you correctly, spiritually. So you give, and you know where your money is going to. No, I don't keep all of it. Imagine if I kept all the money. Then, how, just for starters, how do we pay the light? Television, radio, everything that we do. Pastor keeps all the money. Yeah, that'd be nice. What do you want your ice cream flavor to be? If we're that cool, use your brain a little more. How do you buy the batteries for the microphone that I use? Amen. All spending comes from here, from the offerings of the people, because God set decreed it in his word. But also with that verse that you're sowing, what words are you sowing? What attitude are you sowing in your life? You see, the devil is a perverse man. So protect your home, your children, your family with words of faith, with good attitude. Be directed by the Spirit. Don't take stupid decisions where the devil can take advantage of that decision to destroy your life. In yourself in faith. God is good. At the end of the day, all of this will pass. Don't live on this planet Earth hoping to live here forever. This will all end someday. Hallelujah. One day this won't exist anymore. Glory to God. We won't live forever. I told you, when, as we live here, God gave us weapons to fight against. Glory to God. In our next session, I'll speak a bit more on that, right, on judgment. I'll give you definitions of the word judgment, righteousness, verdict, and we'll see it with the Bible. This is how you can be scared on the contrary. All of this, it is judgment from God. Another way of saying, of understanding it, is it is something that will be accomplished. But judgment also means, just the definitions, is a verdict, something that has already been established. Very surprising, because the word in the Greek also indicates someone left it written. Through word or through something written, as the laws are. Amen. So it means a judgment from God can be for your benefit. Accomplishment of the word. And that will help you, because you'll say, wow, I want the word to judge me then. Hallelujah. Won't be fearing anymore. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There are people who say, oh, and if it's true, then why does brother so-and-so pass away? I don't know. But the word says that he will satiate us with long life, and that by his stripes we were healed, period. And I won't be a coward and stop preaching the word of God just for circumstances that happen. Amen. That's what the devil always wants. Don't speak this, don't speak the other, because this and that. Now, I don't judge the people, but the word is there, and I will continue preaching. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful with the Lord that the Lord is good? Stand on your feet with me.
And I want to maybe feel upset. I make a draw of what is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All the good that is in us by Jesus Christ is within you. It was given by grace. It was put in you when you were born again. Your spirit is as perfect as the Holy, as Christ. You have faith, love, and joy. I don't feel with joy. Well, just feel with it. Speak it. And by faith, you decide. You say, I decide to have joy in my heart. Heavenly Father, we love you and we give you thanks. We give you glory for your presence, for your word, for the anointing of the Spirit of God in our lives. We worship you and we glorify you. Thank you that in Jesus we have it all. Thank you that we have the anointing of Jesus Christ, the love of God. We have peace. We have joy. And if we don't feel it, we speak it. And we say, hallelujah, I have joy, glory to God, and I decide to walk in joy. The circumstances do not matter. I have joy. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Devil, you are defeated, and you won't take the joy that is in me. I have joy. Thank you, Lord. Because the plan of God is bigger than any circumstance. Amen. And you close all doors to the devil. And you close all doors to Satan. And you say, Father, I've made a mistake. I repent. And don't speak it again. Don't bring it to memory. Amen. And when the devil is poking at you, you say, no. Jesus paid all dumb thing that I did, and he will restore me. And you begin to speak restoration, and you begin, and you speak it, and you say, thank you, Lord. You are going to restore my life, my marriage, my home, my finances. And you speak it by faith, and you fill yourself with the word. And don't feed yourself with trash and gossip and people. I mean, the Lord knows that there are Christians that are dangerous. And there's Christians that are more dangerous than the devil. They walk in flesh. So maybe just love them, but far away. And focus yourself on the Word of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.